Heather McDonald has got the juicy scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Segment Serial Data and Serial Sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald. Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. Happy Tuesday. I'm recording this on Memorial Day because I never take a day off. That's not really true. I had a really fun weekend, but I wanted to give you this juicy scoop on this Tuesday. So, had a pretty chill weekend. Stayed at home, played some pickleball. I'm supposed to play pickleball later today. It really is pretty fun. And just hung out with the kids and Peter. And then Sunday, Jeff Lewis had a beautiful Memorial Day party with excellent food. The first thing we see when we walk in is a seafood tower. I mean, I'm talking, I don't even know how much this would be at a Mastro's, because there was a whole nother area of just lobster tails that were not part of this seafood tower, which of like huge oysters, crab, everything. So Chef Stu is his boyfriend, and that is who made all the food. So I hadn't eaten since 9:30 that morning, just to like arrived around 3 o'clock, ready to go off on some barbecued ribs, some swordfish, vegetables that are like all grilled and seasoned to a hilt, where you're like, I could be a vegetarian if it was prepared this way, kind of vegetables, and having a lot of fun. Okay. So the people that were at the party, let's see, let's get to my next party, was Patty Stanger, who was wearing a similar outfit to mine. Fortune Feimster's favorite look of mine is blazers and shorts. We both had the same designer of blazer, which is La Songe, whatever it is, L apostrophe A-N-A-G-E-N-C-E. I don't know how to pronounce it. Ramona also loves this blazer. And so Patty Stanger and I took a bunch of photos on her camera. I'm extremely excited to see them. I'm going to come out looking like 12. And I mean, she's the queen of really making a photo look unreal, quite honestly. Megan Weaver, who's always on Jeff's show, was there. MJ Mercedes from Vanderpump was there. MJ of Shaw's was there with her husband Tommy, and Shannon Bedore was there, and Kelly Dodd was there. So, listen, everybody got along. The love was in the air. The Chardonnay was flowing. At first, I had a margarita, and then I switched the Chardonnay, which is my kryptonite and gets me drunk like that, and emotional and loving. So we had a really good time, and I talked to Shannon, and that was really nice, because for those of you who have followed me for a long time, I was very close to Shannon. We had a lot of fun together along with Tamara, and then this unfortunate thing happened, and we really haven't seen each other in person or talked in person in many years. So I was really a little bit nervous when I saw her, and I was like, oh my God, I'm what do I do? And so I asked Jeff, I said, is she cool with me coming up to her and talking to her? And he said, she is, but not right now. I go, oh, not at the party? He goes, no, just not like this second, because she's talking to someone. I'm like, okay. So then I looked over, and Peter had already broken the ice. He was talking to her and her boyfriend at the bar, and he just said, hi, Shannon, it's so good to see you. I really have missed you. So then I came in. She could not have been nicer. It was like, you know, the rapport that we always had that was always so fun. We really have actually like a lot in common, being that we went to USC, sorority girls, Southern California girls, like just the kind of way we talk and everything. And so it was really great. And the boyfriend's very nice and fun, and she looked great. And there's more juice to this party that, of course, I will save on Patreon. But the invitation said 2:30 to 6:30. So literally at 6:30. I think that's kind of interesting when you put an end time on an adult party. And I think it's kind of genius, because whoever remembered that 6:30 was the time to go, it was like everyone just got up, and then we were like making fun of it. We're like, it's 6:30. It's 6:30. Get the hell out. Like,
party's over.
early on in the evening, everyone was saying that they were going to go to High Tops. Oh, won't you come to High Tops with us, Heather? It's some gay bar I've not been. Annie, are you aware of High Tops?
No, but I gotta
go. Okay. It must be in that area because this is like the West. He lives in like the West Hollywood area, like in the flat streets. And I knew right from the start Peter was driving and there was no way that we were going to go to a second location. No fucking way. Now, if I was by myself, high on Chardonnay, Uber was my ride, 100%, even though I have to record this show for you guys on Memorial Day, I would have gone to High Tops. But I knew at like 4 o'clock when they talked about High Tops, I'm like, yeah, we won't be going to High Tops. And then Peter's like, so good I was there. You would have gone to that other bar. I'm like, no, I wouldn't have. I said right from the start. But then I was like, yeah, you're right. If you weren't there, I would have gone to High Tops. So anyway, next time we don't bring Peter. But no, it was fun. Now let me get into one of the – we're going to cover everything, but I also wanted to just give you the updates on the Todd Chrisley trial because now I see – I've been talking about it for a couple weeks now, but since the trial is actually happening, I see that a lot more press – it's getting a lot more press. I want a little deep dive to remind myself of all the players. So – Todd Chrisley is this Southern gentleman who is married to his second wife, Julie. He has 2 kids from his previous marriage named Lindsay and Kyle. And then he has Chase, Savannah, and Grayson are the 3 younger kids. And they were featured more. The 3 younger kids were always the ones really featured on Chrisley Knows Best. Now there's Growing Up Chrisley, which is just Savannah and Chase living in LA. And then I said he's got a new show coming out called Love in a Limo on E! Where he like helps couples get to know each other in 22 minutes. He's very dynamic, very fun, but acts very effeminate. Now other people have said to me, Heather, there's a lot of Southern gentlemen that act like this, that are not gay. And then I had other people that said, Heather, there's a lot of Southern gentlemen that have a wife that are gay. If you're watching The Staircase, which I also have some major juice on, new discoverable juice, on The Staircase, which is a crime that happened in 2002, I believe, where a man was accused of killing his wife. He said he found her at the bottom of the stairs. They thought he killed her after she discovered that he was living a double life, seeing gay men on the sides, even though he was married, even though this was his second wife, and he pursued women and cheated on his wife with women and men. They said this wife never knew that he had this other side. So anyway, he was also in the show, which was like a light scripted show. He's always talking about how much sex he and his wife Julie were having. Anyway, he is finding himself up against the U.S. government, FBI, for faking loan docs to appear more rich, getting all these loans, millions of dollars worth of loans, $30 million worth of loans, declaring bankruptcy on $20 million, meaning he doesn't have to pay that back, living way beyond his means. She has her own stuff that she wrote, fake documents to get a house in California to rent. Goes on and on. It all comes down to this guy named what is this? Mark Braddock. Mark Braddock was his partner and worked with him. Mark Braddock went to the FBI and said, I falsified all these documents at the direction of Todd Chrisley. Todd Chrisley is saying, I only have an 8th grade education. I met Mark and I was so busy raising my beautiful family and being a dedicated husband, I never knew what he was doing. I just let him do it, and I lived my life flipping houses and then having these TV shows. So meanwhile, a couple of years ago, so now this is modern day, so the prosecution just rested their opening statements of why they – all the things that they did wrong and that they're – he's looking at a lot of time, okay, for all these – didn't pay the IRS, falsifying bank records, lying to banks, all this stuff. And he the whole time is saying nothing. Mark Braddock, who had brought the case to the FBI and indicating himself too, like, I did these bad things, but at the direction of Todd – they're saying, no, he did it all. Mark is saying, I also had an intimate relationship with Todd for 1 year. And then we became just like brothers. Okay. So then we get his daughter, the older daughter named Lindsay. She was featured in the show a little bit in the beginning. The show's been on for like, I don't know, 8 years or something. Very popular, like the number one show on the USA Network. So she had all these issues a couple years ago. So I went back to look it up. In 2019, she claimed that her dad, Todd, and her half-brother, Chase, who's Todd and Julie's son, Chase, were trying to extort her and put this sex tape of her out there. And the sex tape was with one or two guys. Both are former bachelors. One was definitely Robbie Hayes, who was the professional swimmer. He wasn't a professional swimmer, but that's all they could say about him. And the other one was Josh Murray. And she had these intimate relationships with these guys when she was married. And Robbie Hayes went on to say, we had never filmed a sex tape. We never filmed it. However, it was his understanding that there was a moment where they got intimate on a couch and like a puppy cam caught it. So she goes and, you know, they're all going back and forth. She goes on Dr. Phil saying like, my dad's a monster. I want nothing to do with him. I can't believe they tried to extort me and exploit me and all this other stuff. She meets with him. She claims that she met with him in 2019 at a rib shack. She meets with her dad. She thinks they're going to try to make up. Instead, he's like, look, this FBI indictment is coming down and I need you to like really be on my side. So then she was like, what? She, you know, is like, no. And then in 2020, she did state, I'm in no way, she told the FBI, I'm in no way connected to this monster. And she also went to the FBI somewhere in between these years asking to get help to get a restraining order from him. So when this was all being starting to happen, where the government was building their case, she was helping them to the best of her ability, okay, I think. She was not into her dad. She said numerous statements in articles, I don't know that we'll ever reconcile this and that. Well, now she is completely on her dad's side. She took the stand and for the defense, and she said, he's a great dad. He's been a great dad to me when I suffered with an eating disorder. He was a great dad to my brother Kyle when he struggled with drug addiction all these years. He has always been focused on his family. He's fabulous. However, Mark Braddock is the weirdo. She said Mark Braddock had a Napoleon complex. I don't know if he was short or if she doesn't understand what Napoleon. She said that Mark Braddock had a Napoleon complex. And I always thought that meant because Napoleon was short, so he had like a short man's complex where he would wield his power in other ways because he was inferior about his height. I don't know if this guy is short or not, but she said that on the stand. She said he never liked any of the kids. He was very rude to them when they came in the office. She said he would always use Todd Chrisley's identity to do messages and emails and all of this, that he would act as Todd Chrisley. And at one point she was 20 and Todd, her dad, gave her a nice condo to live in. But he said, you can have this condo by yourself and I'll pay for it, providing you keep your grades up and you don't invite boys over. At one point, she was 20. Her boyfriend, who then became her husband, they were in the bed being intimate. According to her, Mark Braddock, in his little body, walks in and takes a photo of her and the boyfriend in the bed and says, I'm going to keep this, like a blackmail thing, because she knew if he shared it with her dad, she might lose this apartment, this condo, besides, you know, really pissing off her father, who's obviously put these rules down. I think this is an interesting part of the story, that the dad, Todd Chrisley, was so strict about her not having boyfriends over. Then when she's married, according to this story from a few years back, he and the brother were like so disgusted that she was cheating with these two bachelor guys that they were going to expose a sex tape. And then she's like, now I realize there was no sex tape, but then what about the puppy cam tape? Like, it's all very weird and very strange and makes me kind of wonder if in fact this, if in fact he did have a gay relationship, an intimate gay relationship with Mark. Maybe because he couldn't live his authentic life as a gay man. Maybe he was weirdly jealous of his daughter and the daughter's relationships with guys. It seems very strange. What doesn't seem strange to me is that his daughter at this point, at 32, single mom, I don't know what she does for a living, would 100% change her tune and be for the defense and do all she can to get her dad out of this horrible mess and put all the blame on this guy. Maybe she truly believes it now. I'm not saying she's lying, but it does make sense because all of a sudden now you come up from this weird fog and you realize that your dad, and not only it's Julie's not her stepmom anymore because at one point she had Julie adopt her. So I guess his wife is just completely out of the picture. You guys might know better. But so the only family that you know might lose everything, all their sources of income. Because I truly believe if they are found guilty and go away to jail, even for just a few years, I know everyone makes a comeback, but I would be honestly really shocked if they were to come back. And if they're going to leave for 3 years, that's no income, no way to make money. I think this is way worse than Joe and Teresa Giudice as far as because they are the whole show. Teresa could go. They waited for her for a year. They came back. Even if she was gone longer than that, they probably would have had the show continue and then have her come back. People will forget about Todd Chrisley. They will not care. It won't be cute anymore. It won't be jokes about the grandma. It won't be, oh my God, I was so horny for you when I was in prison, Julie. Oh, please, I was horny for you when I was in prison. Like, it is just like a very corny, like, show, but it's kind of funny and it's kind of like he has a good personality. So I get why people bought into this, like, stuff and his plastic surgery and his vanity, but then how super horny he is for Julie. Okay. So it is, I mean, this is something that I really am very, very interested in seeing how it turns out. So yeah, I can see why this is really, really bad for the family, including Lindsay. And I also think, you know, as a daughter, sometimes you have rifts with your parents. And this would be the time to, you know, stick up for them, I guess. So there you go. Very, very interesting in all of this. And, you know, and here, this guy, Robbie Hayes. Wow, I haven't heard that name in a while. Wonder if he's still swimming laps. Okay, there was some major Lisa Rinna drama over the weekend. Okay, I'm going to tell you the whole story from what I know. I started to see this popping up and I did my own research and talked to the source, okay? Apparently, this cute guy, he's 35, and his name is Patrick Summers. This is his Instagram. He has about 50,000 followers, no, 137,000 followers, pretty decent following there. And he started to post all this stuff that he was horrified that Lisa had posted his phone number. Like she, it could have been accidental, but it's like she wrote on her stories a conversation with him and his number was on there. Like she, you know, in screen grabbing a text exchange with him, then his number was featured. So he wakes up to all these people being like, oh my God, I can't believe that she put your number out there. And he wakes up to a lot of Lisa Rinna fans, like hardcore coming after him. And this is his phone number. So it was very odd. This is like a very confusing story. So I'm going to tell you as simply as I can. It is my understanding from everything that I've read and the research I've done that there is supposedly a new show in the works that will be out probably in the next 6 to 8 months because it takes a long time to get these shows going. They just finished the casting. They just started filming. And it's going to be, I don't know if it's going to be called Real Husbands of Hollywood, but it is a group of successful gay men living in the LA Hollywood Hills area. And I see it a great idea. I see it as sort of like a Selling Sunset meets Real Housewives. Not that they're all realtors, but they're all successful guys. They're all gay. And kind of seeing their fabulousness, their fights, how they work with each other, any kind of romances, whatever. And in doing that, this guy Patrick was able to meet Lisa Rinna at like a real meeting, not like on the street. Like they hung out for a significant amount of time with a couple, with another housewife that I won't mention. And they just talked about, they didn't really talk that much about what was the show, but just having a nice time. And there was an uncomfortable exchange between Lisa and Patrick. I know what that was, but that part I'm just going to leave off, let that be revealed, because I don't know how much I can reveal of that. And I guess Lisa sort of realized, like, I probably shouldn't have said that. It's probably a little out of touch, a little inappropriate, maybe a little insensitive. She reached out to Patrick, and somehow there was a miscommunication, and neither of them was happy with how the other responded. From that is when she then started this thing with being like, oh, come at me, honey. And then he went hardcore. And one of the things he wrote yesterday was, I need to enjoy my Sunday. So all I'll say is this. Not only did At Lisa Rinna post my number once, she deleted it and then posted it again to double down on her rant about me, giving millions the chance to call and text and look up my personal information associated with my phone number. For that reason, only in looking into my, I'm looking into my legal avenues. It's not like she has any money anyways, but more of a principal thing. Ouch. Okay. Then Lisa wrote, what a bonus getting to talk to so many nice people today since that guy posted my number. Thanks so much. Love you guys. Hashtag silver lining. He then took that and wrote at the bottom, At Lisa Rinna, not you leaking my number first and then trying to change the narrative, you hunchback. Everyone knows you're lying. You need to go worry about your husband and your finances and who he's spending his time with because his wife is too busy running her overfilled mouth. And at one point, the exchange is back and forth. He referred to her as a 70-year-old. She's not 70. So, look, if this show wasn't picked up before, it just got picked up. He's not calling anybody. He's just being snarky. And maybe that meeting that they had really, maybe she really did rub off on him because this guy knows how to stir some shit and get us excited. I think she also loves all publicity, bad or good. I think that she is alone in her room most days, dancing with her Free People sweats on. And then gets on the phone and does some stuff, doesn't think it through, but never apologizes. It just double down. And so that was happening this weekend. And so look forward to that. I think this is the right time for a show like that, that features a bunch of guys, providing it's a great cast. I think it could be kind of fun. And I know they tried it many years ago on Bravo called The A-List. It was about a bunch of gay male realtors in San Francisco. And it just, there was no inner drama between the guys. It was just kind of like following their lives. And I think people realize now that was the way the shows really succeed is if there's some real relationships happening, some real conflicts, some real juice. So meanwhile, with the Housewives, though, great. It was a juicy episode on Wednesday. And did you see it, Annie, yet?
No.
Because Annie was at her sister's wedding. It's okay. People just, you know, doubling down on Sutton. Her trying to say, I was insensitive to Dorit's robbery because I'm awkward and weird. She basically been, I'm awkward and weird. I'm weird about anything with breaking an entry because my house was robbed when I was a little girl, and guns because my dad shot himself. So that's why instead of acting sensitively, I don't know. She didn't really say this word, but I almost like she disconnected. But she did cry about it. She kind of saved herself and felt really badly. And, you know, that was that. Meanwhile, Erica said, well, you know, some of those victims, quote unquote, might have been paid as they were supposed to and still decided to sue. And everyone was like, what? So also her whole personality has changed. Someone said, I think she mentioned she was on Lexapro, and someone wrote me that they know people that have been on Lexapro and their personality changed. They become lighter and happier and funnier. And I think a little Lexapro, a couple drinks. I think she has become a little bit more likable. I didn't like that she said that. I don't believe that anybody that was properly paid would be like, you know what would be fun is to act like we weren't and get on the bandwagon of suing someone who has no fucking money. I do not think anybody would do that. So she sounds really dumb saying it. I'm fine with her. She should just stick with her only narrative. I never knew what Tom was doing. I had carte blanche to spend what I wanted to spend on my fake music career, and I did it. I got to do what I wanted to do, spend money, and he got to do what he wanted to do, sleep with a judge. Okay, we had an arrangement, but that arrangement did not include how I knew how he spent his money, his client's money, or nothing. I had very limited knowledge. I don't have just an eighth grade education like Todd Chrisley, but I didn't go to school past high school. That's always a great defense. Just I wasn't into school. I guess that's what everyone will do. I didn't go to school. Okay. That's what she should do. You know, if she'd asked my advice, just stick with that and just be like, I'm just so horrified that these people are in this position when they won this case and they were not properly paid their amount. I'm horrified, but I had nothing to do with it. Instead, she just like, again, doubling down. She absolutely hates Sutton because she thinks Sutton's the reason that she's in this position somehow, kind of like the same way that Teresa thinks Margaret ruined it for Louis being fired. It's like very dumb, but whatever. They go out to La Quinta. Kathy Hilton is not there, and they never mention Kathy. Or do they mention? I don't know if they're like, where's Kathy? She's getting ready for the Paris wedding. That's it. That's why she's not in any of these scenes. She's not at the La Quinta weekend. So anyway, they bring up something else, Juicy, that's going to happen, where Crystal says, and now we know Crystal and Sutton are quite close right now, but Crystal says Sutton said something really, really bad. And they're like, just say it. And she's like, it's really bad. And they're like, just say what it is. It's so bad. I don't know if we'll ever find out what out of touch thing Sutton said, but I assume it was just something, you know, pretty inappropriate or culturally inappropriate or something or out of touch or whatever. And she since has profusely apologized and they are good. So that's what I'm guessing happened there. But it's going to be a juicy season. Okay. Now let me fill you in on what's happening with the Johnny Depp trial. I'm not going to go too long. They did closing arguments. The jury, which is 5 men and 2 women, thought that was kind of interesting that it was 5 men and 2 women, only 7 people. They deliberated just for a little bit on Friday. And then they said, remember, don't look on social media or anything over the long 3-day Memorial Day weekend when you go home to your families. I think that is not great timing for Amber's side, because social media and everything on the internet so is in favor of Johnny Depp, including most of you that have watched me cover it. And some of you have criticized me for not being so Johnny Depp and not being as completely disgusted by the lies that Amber has been caught in while on the stand. So I think I realized all that, but I think I focused on other things because I knew that's all anyone was focusing on. So in doing it, I was basically saying what her team said at the end. So first I'll tell you what Johnny's team said. Camille Vasquez, which is this dynamo star attorney. She's only 36. She really came off great. This is really who you want to hire, you want to have. She was a Kappa from USC. Then she went to Southwestern Law School. I think she's single for now. She might end up with Johnny. Lives in the OC. Just very smart, very well-spoken, very likable. Basically, her closing argument was, the first lie happened 6 years ago when Amber went to get this restraining order with these wounds on her face that they don't believe happened that way. They don't believe it was true. And that started Johnny's nightmare that's gone on for 6 years. By siding with them and saying that what she wrote in the article is defamation, which caused him so much pain to his reputation and his career, that is why they are suing her for $50 million. And then they said, this isn't about believing Amber or not. It's about, do you believe Amber? Do you believe? And then she went through all the lists of witnesses whose testimony has proven that Amber has said false statements or got caught in things that are not true, from, you know, timelines of these supposed incidences to evidence that something was photoshopped to make one of the things I saw about the makeup. Annie, have you ever seen that Benefit little bottle? It's like liquid. It looks like a nail polish, but it's liquid. And you put like dots to give yourself like a natural face. There was a TikTok someone did. I don't know if it's based on testimony. Like I said, I've not watched every single hour, but I thought this was interesting because I used to use that stuff all the time. And they were able, you can also make like red marks on your face, like the way your face would look after you were maybe hit, but you haven't started bruising yet. And they compared it to some of the photos that supposedly Amber took after she was attacked by Johnny Depp. So there's been just so many of those things. The other part was the TMZ guy. The TMZ guy, who's very recognizable if you watch TMZ, there was when she was doing the deposition for the him suing the Sun, in which he lost for defamation, she said, talking about when she got her restraining order and she walked out, she said something like, no, and I mean, no other news sources knew besides, of course, TMZ, who was alerted. And then she goes, I mean, so they get that guy up there and he, on the stand, says, yes, she let us know that she was going to the courthouse to get a restraining order and which side of her face to photograph her on. And he's in the stand. And at one point, her attorney, which is also crazy because there's another crazy viral TikTok of this woman that looks just like her female attorney, who's a little bit of an older woman, at a Johnny Depp event, like getting Johnny Depp to sign something. It's crazy. I really would love to know if that has been proven true. Like, I think the only way we can know it is true is if the woman admitted it. But it literally looks so much like her. But she says, oh, and by coming here today, you're getting your 15 minutes of fame, aren't you? And he's like, no, this is not, like, behooving me at all. He handled himself really well. And he goes, but by you accepting Amber Heard as a client, I could say the same thing about you getting your 15 minutes of fame. And she's like, oh, a little argumentative, aren't we? And Johnny's team and Johnny are like dying. Okay. So that didn't look good that she alerted TMZ. And so that's basically the thrust of their closing arguments. Then the closing arguments of Amber just came down to what I have been focusing on through my coverage, is it is about defamation. Was she protected by our First Amendment right to say in just a couple sentences that she was a victim of domestic abuse? And then her attorney did a pretty good job in trying to get the jury to have this in their mind when they go deliberate. You only have to believe one time that she was possibly abused to make it that what she wrote in that article was not defamation. And that one time could be him slamming the cabinets when he was angry and she secretly filmed him. It could be him verbally abusing her, or it could be any time that he may have touched her in a violent manner. Because he knows that they're going to go back and go, she's been caught in so many lies. Her story has been changed so many times. And he said, also as a victim of domestic abuse, what are we saying that, like, it's never enough? You didn't take enough photos, because some of the questioning on her side was like, and you didn't seek medical attention after that. No, you didn't. But you took a photo of the mess on the floor, but you didn't take a photo of your face that day. You didn't take a photo of this, and you didn't get So he's like, you know, we shouldn't be so critical of a domestic violent victim or domestic abuse, which I said it could be emotional. So they're hoping that they go in and just really focused on her First Amendment rights. While meanwhile, Johnny's people are like, she lied about all these things. It's all a lie. By lying, she ruined his life, and we proved that she was a liar here. Now, Johnny, the defense used to remind everybody that Johnny has, in fact, went after her in this case to get her back for leaving him. And there was a moment where she said, please, Johnny, drop all of this, you know, case against me, after she wrote the article. I don't want to have to reveal every awful thing that has happened. And he was like, no, you know, go do it. I don't care, because this was the text that everyone is talking about. So I'll read it, and there's some bad language in it. He wrote to his friend, she's begging for total global humiliation, which I believe she got. She's going to get it. I'm going to need your text about San Francisco, brother. I'm even sorry to ask, but she sucks. She sucked Musk's crooked dick. They're talking about Elon Musk, who she had an affair with, and also who is the father of the IVF baby that she has, who's 4. That has been proven, I believe. And he gave her some shitty lawyers. I have no mercy, no fear, and not an ounce of emotion or what I once thought was love for this gold-digging, low-level, dime-a-dozen, mushy, pointless, dangling, overused, flappy fish market. I'm so fucking happy she wants to go to fight this out. She will hit the wall hard, and I cannot wait to have this waste of a cum-guzzler out of my life. I met a fucking sublime little Russian here, which made me realize the time I blew on that 50-cent stripper. I wouldn't touch her with a goddamn glove. I can only hope that karma kicks in and takes the gift of breath from her. Sorry, man, but now I will stop at nothing. Let's see if Mollusk, that's what he's calling Elon, has a pair. Come see me face to face. I'll show him things he's never seen before, like the other side of his dick when I slice it off. So, you know, they wanted to prove that this is the real Johnny Depp. This is a vengeful, very powerful man that has nothing at this point to lose but gain his reputation back, gain his fans, and globally humiliate her, which I truly believe happened in this case. I have said this from the very beginning, and I still think that they will favor him. They will say, yes, we side with Johnny Depp. However, the money that they award him will be not very much. Like, if she has to pay him anything, I think it will be a couple million, definitely not more than 7, because he gave her $7 million for the divorce. So I'm thinking like half of that, because I don't think, even though, you know, they may not like her, but it's different when you've seen her talk and she's staring at you the whole time. I don't know how they feel about her, but I don't think a jury is going to say she has got to pay him like 10, 20, 30, $40 million for the rest of her life. Like, restitution, every job she gets, some portion of her money will be taken out to give to him. I just do not think that'll happen. But I do think in the end, they're going to side with Johnny. But I definitely don't think she's going to get awarded any money. And if she has to pay him anything, it will be not anywhere close to the $50 million he's asking. So we'll see if I'm right in a few days. But then he went and had some fun. Johnny Depp then performed at a concert in England. As he awaits his verdict, he just went back to England and he showed up, surprised everybody. They were so excited, you know, thrilled. Also, Tiffany from Juicy Scoop Obsessed said, do you think that Meghan Markle looks like Camille Vasquez? And I do think so. And, you know, if Meghan would ever want to play a role, I think that would be a very, if this ever becomes a movie, which it really should, I'm gonna say, Meghan, throw on your hat. Like, I know you want to act again. Just do it. Okay, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Oh, we talked about that. Oh, so Andy Cohen is and Bravo is being slammed by human rights groups ahead of the Real Housewives of Dubai premiere. So this letter was sent to Bravo heads and NBC Universal, who, you know, they're all one big company now, saying that they really oppose the violence against women as well as the homophobic laws perpetrated by the rules of Dubai and the United Arab Emirates. And in this letter, that was how many? 12 like human rights organizations, global organizations, saying we really think that you should not air this show. Well, that's not going to happen. I'm sure these letters were written before it was in the works, but it's a little late now. It's premiering June 1st. In watching the previews, it's the girls are all skinny and gorgeous. Let me see. Oh, do we have a photo of the Dubai? And here they are, the Real Housewives of Dubai. And they're all gorgeous. They're all really rich. And in the trailer, one of them says, Dubai is the land of opportunity. I don't know that I'd call it that. I think if you go with $50 million to Dubai, you might be able to make more. But I wouldn't say if you're born there as a woman, it's a great place to be. Caroline Stansbury, she was in Ladies of London. She since got divorced and married a really hot younger guy, and all she does is post about her love with him. She's in it. And then these other girls, we don't know who they are, but they're rich. And of course, one is doing their first fashion show, and they're like, this has to work. I'm like, no, it doesn't. It doesn't have to work. You're on a reality show. You don't need your stupid fashions to work. You've already made it. So, you know, I'm sure it's similar storylines. I'm sure it's similar. Get your finger out of my face. Oh, I want to say, I think his name is Timothy. I'm going to post about it tomorrow. But a TikTok was made based on Fortune and I doing, from my show, they took a little clip of this, being like, don't point your finger in my face. And I said, why do reality shows, especially housewives, get so mad and often use their finger? I don't know how long this was to take him. There is literally like 17 scenes of all the housewives from different seasons and cities putting their finger in the face, being mad if a finger has been put in their face. Like, there are certain housewives that are like, get your finger out of my face. And then the next clip is them putting their finger in someone else's face. I just don't know that I've ever done that. Like, I don't even, have I ever, hey.
Not to me.
No, I don't know. So I guess maybe that's why I'll never be a housewife. But, so I'm sure there'll be some fingers in their faces and some other places. So that's happening. Then we cracked a case thanks to Annie. Annie said, oh, maybe it's a good thing that The Real Housewives of Dallas was canceled. Otherwise, they would have the same initials. Real Housewives of Dallas, R-H-O-D, and Real Housewives of Dubai, R-H-O-D. Wow, you guys. A lot of people were confused why Dallas got canceled. But I can imagine the meeting at Bravo when they said, we have a team. We've got Caroline Stansbury from Ladies of London. She's got all these rich bitches in Dubai. We're going to do Dubai. Everyone's like, I'm thrilled to go there, stay in a fancy hotel with a man-made beach, and let's do this shit. And then someone's like, wait a minute. Should we call it something other? Should we just call it Real Housewives of the Middle East? No, we have to call it Dubai. But what are we going to do about Dallas? And then they're like, well, good news is the ratings are down and they've had a couple weird seasons. I mean, are any of the Real Housewives of Dallas people, did they figure this out? Is this old news? Is Annie a genius detective? I mean, my mind's a little bit blown. And also, I guess it's just never coming back, Real Housewives of Dallas, because you know this. First of all, you know they're not going to care to take it down. And this is probably a very expensive show. And believe me, the world is looking for some new rich people to follow. I have never been to Dubai. I don't plan on ever going there unless someone would like to pay me to perform and also pay for my whole trip. So, I mean, I don't think we're going to like bring the Juicy Scoop crew to go interview someone. Maybe so. I don't know. But anyway, Real Housewives of Dallas, rest in peace, because you're probably going to have to stay there. Okay. The Staircase is on HBO Max. I just talked a little bit about this case. So that was a documentary that they did many years ago following this guy's case. Did he do it? Did he not? Did she fall down the stairs and he found her that way? Did she confront him about him having gay lovers? Because she saw correspondence with him and some of these gay escorts on their computer that night. And he then, you know, was like, you're not leaving me, and hit her head. Or what I do love is that they get into the owl theory. So this is on HBO Max. It's, I think, about 5 episodes out right now. And they show what the owl theory is. So this neighbor, who is also an attorney, so he gets convicted of doing it. They believe that he did it because they also thought it was very weird that when he was married to his first wife, Patty, and had 2 young boys, they had a best friend couple. The husband had died and the woman was a young widow and she had 2 little girls, like 6 months and 1.5 years. And he went and he like walked her home that night after they all had dinner and he went to bed. And the next morning her nanny came and found her at the bottom of the stairs. He took over, had the body buried right away. He immediately said, oh, I think she had an aneurysm. They never really did an autopsy about it. They just assumed she must have had an aneurysm and fell down the stairs. Once he was arrested and was awaiting trial for possibly killing his wife, Kathleen, they looked into this whole story. And it's very weird. So after this woman in Germany, because they were like on a military base, was found dead, he and his wife, Patty, sought out to adopt the 2 little girls. And then they went and raised their 4 kids, their 2 biological sons and these 2 adopted little girls all together. And they eventually moved to North Carolina. In North Carolina, Patty, his wife at the time, was best friends with this woman, Kathleen. And they all had a great time together. Well, Kathleen's husband left her on Christmas Day, and there was some cheating rumors there. At least they mentioned that in the scripted movie. Now, the movie is scripted, okay, based on all of the stuff. And then he had an affair with Kathleen, Patty's friend. I just got detailed juicy scoop about this because I found their son, Todd's Instagram. Todd.B.Peterson's Instagram. He's extremely fit. He's a motivational speaker. He has a Corvette. He likes to swing around his sword. He only has about 5,000 followers. He will have more after today. And he's extremely good looking. And Patrick Schwarzenegger, who's also extremely good looking, Maria and Arnold's son, is playing him in the scripted HBO movie. And I watched his 38-minute video of how annoyed he is about how he's portrayed in the movie and how his brother is portrayed in the movie. And in that, he tells the story of how his mother, Patty, is portrayed in his movies. He's like, I don't like how she's portrayed. Why not feature what a strong woman she was? My dad cheated on her with some guy the first month that they were married. He went to Lake Tahoe with some guy. My uncle told me about that. She accepted that he was a cheater. And then her best friend, Kathleen, she found them in her bed. So Kathleen went over to her house and slept with Michael Peterson. Patty found them. And within a week of finding them, Scott Peterson moved out of their house down the street. This is according to the son, Todd, down the street with Kathleen. They then got divorced. And he said, you know, Kathleen doesn't deserve what happened to her, obviously, that she died. Now, I got to go deeper into this video, but he goes on to say, you know, imagine how hard that was for my mom to have her best friend betray her like that. Then he goes on to say in this video that at one point my mom confided in me and said at one point she was so depressed about her husband, Michael Peterson, leaving her for her best friend, Kathleen, and setting up their house now with their now five children, because Kathleen had one, and then, you know, Scott had the two, Michael had the two boys, Todd being one of them, and the two girls from Germany, that she wanted to get a gun and go over to their house and have Kathleen open the door, and then she was going to kill herself in front of Kathleen. But she never did. And I'm like, do you know who also said that they wanted to do that? Betty Broderick. Betty Broderick's defense was, I was just going to go over there to my ex-husband and his new wife's house and kill myself in front of them to show them how much they've hurt me. But instead, I panicked and they moved and ended up shooting both of them. So thank God she never did that. She lived many years after that. She was very supportive of Michael Peterson's defense and very supportive of her kids in the documentary, as well as how she's being portrayed in the HBO movie. But he feels that they did not portray them in that good of a light, that they kept showing him being this party boy and that he worked in real estate in Cabo. And I'm like, I understand he's upset, you know, because it's like, I'm sure he's not making any money off of this because it's not his story. And now he's like a public figure because he was in the documentary and they can. But it is a scripted thing. So it's like, he's like, and at this point in the movie, I'm doing this. But actually, I was the number one realtor winning all this. I'm like, okay, we got it. But he's very fit. He said what turned his life around was Tony Robbins. And he believes he's going to be the next biggest inspirational, motivational speaker. And I'm going to keep watching it, guys, and let me know. Should we watch his Instagram? Tell me what you think. Should we try to get him on the show? He's very good looking. I mean, he should be happy that Patrick played him, because Patrick really does look like him, and he is a babe. But I can imagine, though, honestly, it was kind of interesting hearing his point of view, because this thing went on and is still going on for 20 years, like, this crime happened in 2002, and it's today. And he had to deal with that and deal with the ups, downs. But I thought in the documentary and in the scripted show, it actually really showed them as very supportive siblings of each other, really supportive of him. But I mean, I guess that would be weird if you're watching a story about yourself and you're seeing someone play you and you're like, no, in 2006, I wasn't playing the Chuckle Hut. I was right. You know, like I just wonder, like, if I would be as annoyed if I was like, no, that year I was actually doing this and I was more successful. But then, you know, it's a scripted movie and it says based on true events. It's not word for word. It's not a documentary. So they took everything and they kind of made it a series for us to watch. But I thought that was some juicy scoop. All right. This next topic I like to call Soft Swap Mormon TikTok Drama, or TikTok Soft Swap. So there's this girl, Taylor Paul. She's a really pretty brunette. She's friends with all these other young, gorgeous Mormon girls. I understand they're all Mormon. They live in Utah. They all have good bodies. They all have cute husbands. They all are like under 30. And they all did each other's TikToks and would do these videos and stuff. And they're all so gorgeous. They're kind of like those. Remember when I talked about those cupcake girls? I call them the cupcake girls. They're in Orange County. And they all go to these fancy parties and they all just take photos with each other. They're like a younger Mormon version of that. And so they all decided to kind of get together and use each other for like TikTok clout and kind of collaborate. So they're able to get each other's followers. And I'm starting to research this because everyone's like, Heather, you've got to. This girl just went on live, Taylor, and said she's getting a divorce because she and her group of friends were into soft swapping, which means making out with each other, girls or guys, and I guess like dry humping or blue balling or whatever, not full penetration. But this is what they did, and they drank. So it's like not only I thought Mormons weren't supposed to drink, but they would get drunk and then make out. But there were certain rules, like you don't go off with just one person by themselves. And I don't know. Some rules were broken, and she's like, and now my husband and I are getting a divorce, and that's the deal. People start going crazy, sending it to me. I'm seeing other stuff on it. Other people that were friends of hers that were all in her videos are like, we just saw this. We are not swingers. We don't know what's going on. We're not swingers. So people are assuming, well, then who were the soft swap swingers? And then other people are like, I think this is all bullshit. I think she's doing this for more followers. However, the TikTok account was removed, but the Instagram account is here. I don't even know. But then someone said, she always would do, she had a weird, she thinks she's funny, but she would do these weird videos about lying like she's a grandma. And I go, what? And then all of a sudden, I remember seeing this TikTok and this reel over and over again that would end up in my feed. And it was like people not believing I'm a grandma. And it was two really pretty blonde-haired girls holding babies. And then she would come out and had a tiny like size 0-2 body and long brown hair and was like, but I'm a grandma. And I just thought, oh, this is like a 45-year-old woman who's fit with 20-something-year-old daughters. And maybe this is her baby. Maybe it's not. But like, I just believed, yeah, okay, she's a really good-looking young grandma. I never thought that the whole thing, that was with her and her other near weird Mormon friends. That's the kind of shit, and that's who you're following? I mean, I never was following this loser. Now I don't know if she's a swinger or not, but I'm just annoyed that, like, who cares? I really don't. We'll see. I guess if she comes back and starts doing her, like, cute kid something or, but I kind of feel like this might have been another lie. I hope it wasn't. I hope that they were all, I would love to be in a soft swap situation at 30. Not now. I don't want to kiss another 50-year-old guy. But like at 30, it might have been kind of fun if everyone agreed to it and you just got drunk and you just made out with other people and like dry humped a little. But I still think you'd catch feelings for someone. The point is any kind of swapping, swinging is the quickest way to a divorce. Do not, I'm sorry, swingers. Sorry, pineapple lovers, but I still think it's just not a great idea. Someone always gets hurt. So, you know what? I do think this is bullshit. I do, because the other people that got so much attention on TikTok was that other couple. Remember people were sending that to us? They were best friends, and they admitted to being swingers and loved being swingers, and then the two people ended up together, and then they went back, and they were, I believe that their story was true. I think she saw that and jumped on it, and then was like, I'm just going to admit it's all a joke on Tuesday. Weirdo. Snapchat CEO oh my God, okay. He and his model girlfriend, or, well, she's not a model. She's Miranda Kerr. She's a model, right? I thought she was an actress too. Anyway, he,
it's his wife.
Okay, that's good. Evan Spiegel. So he took a few classes at the Otis College of Arts and Design in LA one summer. And they realized that, so they asked him to be the commencement speaker. And during his commencement speech, he said, and by the way, I am going to pay off $10 million of student loans of the graduates in front of me. And they freaked out and cheered. And I was like, oh my God, how pissed would you be if you were the two previous classes where there was no graduation because of COVID in LA? So then he never got to speak. He was probably on the list to speak at the 2020 and the 2021 graduation, which probably didn't exist or was like a sad Zoom thing or like outside in the heat. I don't know. I'm very happy for these kids. I also think colleges should start to think about only asking extremely wealthy people to speak at their commencement speakers, just in case someone wants to do this. But I think what a cool idea, what a cool surprise. You have that kind of money and that's something you want to do. Wow. And to announce it during the speech, that was, those people had fun. Speaking of millions, according to Page Six, and I have not talked to Julia Hart. I know she was busy with her own daughter graduating from Stanford this weekend, cause I follow her and she was, but this came out on Thursday. No more millions. Julia Hart loses bid to prove that she co-owned her ex's company. So she had always said and told me that once she got with her husband, that he gave her 51% of the company, that she owned half of this big company that encompassed like the Elite Models and all these other things. And therefore, no matter what happened, even if they didn't stay together, she'd be set because she's co-owner. And the judge, I guess, asked her to prove it, and they believe that she does not now. So she lost her bid to prove that she co-owned the – I mean, I feel really badly for her because when I talked to her when they were still together and she told me this story, I thought it was, wow, that is awesome. And I also thought, wow, you are like really protected for the future no matter what with a career and assets and everything. So I don't know why she would believe that wasn't true just because he told her that. So she just believed it because he told her. I mean, didn't she have her attorneys look at paperwork in a prenup situation when you're marrying such a powerful man? But then again, maybe she didn't because she came from this very, very sheltered life. Again, she didn't have a college education. She was living this Orthodox Jewish life where she didn't watch TV and she, you know, all her entertainment and what she was reading was kind of limited. And then she was only out as a single woman and working in fashion a few years before meeting him. So I don't know. She's lovely to me. And when she told me that was her situation about like 8-9 months ago, I believed it too. So I don't know. Very interesting, but I'm very excited to watch the Netflix. Oh, speaking of the Netflix, he also is going after Netflix, saying that because they're filming it in the home that they share together, he's trying to say she doesn't own that home. She doesn't own half of that home either. And therefore, he's trying to like stop the filming of it. That better not happen because I really want to watch this thing. So yeah, this is turning real ugly and juicy. And then Real Housewives of OC alum Joe De La Rosa, remember her from the first season of Real Housewives of OC? She was Slade Smiley's fiance. She was on my show after she broke up with her second fiance. They never got married and she was going to be, she's like, I quit my job and I'm going to be an influencer. And she started a podcast, which she stopped, and she started a YouTube channel, which she still has. And she's very into just doing very influencer-type videos, any kind of trend, any whatever. She fell in love with this guy, Taryn Gray, and he is a country Christian music person. I think he's Christian. I mean, comes off pretty Christian music. And she met him on Hinge, and they talked for 3 months because it was COVID without meeting. And she said, so we built this emotional connection before the physical. So then when the physical happened, it was that much greater because we were already in love. Anyway, she got married. So there you go. Oh, this is what she said. I think that time in the beginning really worked in our favor. We weren't blinded by the physical, as often happens when you first meet someone. We really got to know each other deeply on an emotional level, which made the physical connection, when we did eventually meet, all that more special. Okay. Also, the doctor, the cute doctor from Real Housewives of Miami that had the hot baby daddy lawyer fiance, they got married in Vegas. So good for her. And that's it, you guys. And on some happy wedding moments. All right, I've got a real good show for you coming on Thursday. Spread the word. And can you please get people to follow me on Instagram? I would like to get to 300,000 soon by my birthday, which is around the corner. Also, come see me and Justin Martindale. Justin will also be here on Thursday's show in Napa on June 17th. Everything is at heathermcdonald.net. And also make sure you join Patreon for the extra, extra juice every Friday and more.